Welcome back. This is Christina Wise, your host. In this episode, I interview Lisa Thomas. Lisa is a transformational leader, gifted healer, and intuitive coach. She integrates business with her natural gifts to help her clients embrace all of life and help them break their money and success blocks. She helps people worldwide to achieve their business and life goals by clearing inherited emotional DNA, such as fear of success, fear of failure, anxiety, procrastination, fear of public speaking, false money beliefs, relationship drama, and business stagnation. In this episode, we talk about the most prominent money blocks and self-sabotaging beliefs and how to clear them, how to attract more money into your life and get out of that month-to-month cycle, and how important it is to look at what you haven't been looking at, especially when it comes to your money. I'd call her the money healer. She's gifted my listeners with a free money meditation to help you clear your blocks and rewrite your beliefs. Check out the show notes for more information. Also, during this time of COVID, I've been teaching how to pivot your business. And while teaching others, well, I've been pivoting my own. So I'm super excited to share this news with you. Simply go to sovereigntyacademy.com to learn more. Now, please enjoy my conversation with Lisa Thomas. Welcome to the Wealthy Wealthy Podcast. Thank you for being here today.
It's my honor. I'm excited to chat with you.
All right. There is a lot going on right now, and I would love you first to introduce yourself. You and I met through Melinda at her Wings retreat, and one of the highlights of that trip for me was getting to talk to you and having the ride share back to the airport together. And you,
that's right.
Yeah. And I was thinking afterwards, after I got on my flight, that, wow, Lisa just nailed me. Like, you just somehow nailed me and my situation. And I thought, how did she do that? So if you will, would you just introduce yourself to all the listeners, like who you are and a little bit of story about what brought you to the work that you're doing today?
Sure. I work with business leaders to dramatically enhance their success. And I focus on releasing inherited patterns around money struggle that we get from our lineage, clearing limiting beliefs and fears that hold us back from not just gaining success, but thriving in it, keep staying in it, right? And that it can be a fear of public speaking, or we might be hung up in a habit of procrastination that holds us back. But I love clearing business stagnation. And I love working with leaders that really see that they are and recognize that there's more for them in their life.
And how do you do this? Like, where does all this wisdom come from? What's, you know, what got you to this place of you doing the specific type of work that you're doing today? Have you always done this? Have you always been an intuitive? Have you always been, you know, share a little story about Lisa.
I've always been an intuitive, but I chuckle because this has not been an easy journey. I was born clairvoyant. I'm clairaudient. I've got those clair gifts that came to me. It's just who I am. But as a little girl, Christina, this was a burden for me. I did not enjoy this. I did not enjoy seeing ghosts. Nobody in my family understood me. And I was really taught to protect myself. I was taught not to talk about it. So it's not like my mom didn't understand me. She understood, but she also wanted to protect me from being ridiculed. So what happens over time when we are oppressed, meaning we cannot be who we really are, we don't know who we are as we get older, because who we are isn't accepted. Follow me? So I was raised unaccepted as far as who I am spiritually. And then as I got older, one thing led to another. I had a hobby of, you know, studying holistic medicine, studying and getting certified in different things, but it was never with the intention of having a career, because I also had an inherited and learned belief that you cannot be spiritual and prosperous. You cannot sell what is a gift. So I really had to work through my own stuff on that. And I would say that what got me here is that I had those defining moments in my life where I had to say yes to Lisa. And I had to let go of not knowing how the outcome was going to be. I had to let go of judgment and say yes to that internal prompting of what was happening.
And how would you define clairvoyant intuitive?
Clairvoyant is somebody that has an understanding of an individual without asking, so to speak, like you just do. Clairvoyant is being able to see ghosts, being able to see spirits. Clairaudient is being able to hear. So as a little girl, I saw and heard. I would say, do I still see spirits? Yes, but it's more that I have this, I've developed a knowingness to be able to understand people. And, but the method that I go through, really, I think anybody could do it. I would say my gifts are the icing on the cake. So I use a lot of kinesiology in my work because I don't want to depend on someone's ancestor for the information. My client's body will give me the information because the subconscious knows everything. I have a gift for being able to unwind it and figure it out and be able to explain to someone why it's there.
All right. We're all, most of us are about a week into some type of home containment, quarantine, and even cities right now are starting lockdown. What do you have to say about this from your point of view? Like, what is your perspective? What are you seeing? What are you feeling?
I am seeing that this is an opportunity for us to get quiet. So I'll tell you what I've heard, okay, and what I feel is that our own internal wisdom is going to grow as we use this time of isolation for ourselves. And we cannot do that if we're glued in front of the TV. If we don't use this time wisely, right, then we're going to miss this opportunity. If you've taken a walk outside, have you noticed, Christina, how still it is, how peaceful it is,
yes,
how quiet it is?
Yes, I've been, right? Every morning I'm going for my run down at the lake, and it is. It's almost eerie in the sense of how quiet and still.
Because we're not used to
it. Yeah.
And in numerology, this is, I have a friend, or she's a client, she's a numerologist, and she texted me and she goes, oh my gosh, Lisa, you're not going to believe what the numerology around this virus is. Of course, I'm excited about that. And so I'd love to share it with you. The lesson through this is success through cooperation of others. Right? Success through the cooperation of others. And how do we do that being isolated? Well, you know, we do that by reaching out to family and friends. We do that by not hoarding and in the grocery store. We do that by recognizing that someone else has a bigger need than we do. And what do we do about that? How do we be go-givers? It's a great book, by the way, to help someone else and not make it about us.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just wrote a piece for business owners and entrepreneurs, and it's called The 12 Things an Entrepreneur Must Do Right Now to Build Financial Immunity in This Time of Uncertainty. And one of the 12 is just that it's like how we carry ourselves out of this successfully and survive during this period of uncertainty. It's all through collaboration. It's all through community.
Exactly.
100%. Mm-hmm. And those that are even most vulnerable, let's say, to the real virus are those that are completely alone by themselves, have no real help. That's what makes us vulnerable.
It is. Mm-hmm. And what do we do with that? Well, you know what? We can get into our finances. We're not blocked from online, right? So for us, look at what you're not looking at. Where in your finances are you not? What are you not paying attention? Because when we don't honor the money that we have, it's very hard to hold on and grow our money.
Yes.
I love you, Christina. We talk the same language in a different way, but I'll tell you what, I have so much respect and admiration for you, your journey, what you've been through. I think you're an amazing woman.
Well, I thank you. And I think the same of you. So let's talk money. Money is, money is real. You know, money is always a part of our lives. And to your point, usually we're not paying attention to it. And then all of a sudden I think it's wake up time. It's a wake up call,
right?
Money could be a little bit in jeopardy. One of my Facebook Lives recently, I said, these are the people that I know front line that their businesses are shut down right now. Gym owners, yes. Restaurant owners, my co-working space. So this is real.
Yeah, it's very real.
And the ripple effect of this is real. And people are calling me. Some of them are scared real. So now's the time, to your point. I love what you said. It's time to look at what we've not been looking at. So let's you and I have this conversation.
Let's do.
Looking at money, why, from your point of view, why are we so afraid to look at money? Why has it taken a crisis to finally say, holy shit, I better take a look at this thing?
It can be as simple as someone that just isn't there in their wheelhouse to be detailed. And so numbers cause a sort of anxiety for them to look at that detail. Let's talk, too, about inherited patterns, because I really think that that comes down to an unworthiness. If you inherited unworthiness of wealth, then you don't want to go there because it doesn't feel good, right? And even inherited patterns are showing up right now in society with the crisis we're in, because it's activating this fight and flight that our ancestors may have already lived through. It's activating a scarcity vibration around that triggers the hoarding, or triggers, you know, us not being nice to each other. It's fight and flight. We're in survival. But looking at money, let's go back to your question. It's just hard for some people. I bet you find that as you coach them. Yeah.
Or they think it's hard. I mean, I think it's hard. The belief is it's much harder than it really is. And so it's that avoidance out of the fear of it's probably too complicated for me because I'm not good at numbers, or I don't like numbers, might be the story.
The other story is that I found is if they find out that about their money, they're going to feel constricted, which means then they can't spend as much as they are. They don't want to be held back and be told that they can't spend their money on what they want.
Right.
Well, that doesn't work, does it?
So true. So what do you find so you work with a lot of very professional and successful people to help them see money blocks, remove those money blocks? So share with me a little bit about what that conversation might sound like.
This is a great conversation because it really doesn't matter how much money they make. The fear energy and the scarcity energy is the same. So for example, right now I'm working with two very successful investment bankers, okay? And they both have quite a bit of money saved, right? But if they have to pull any money out of that reserve of theirs, they go into thinking that all is lost. They're going to be broke. They're going to be on welfare. It doesn't matter if they have $5 million, right? So it can be the same, and that's very prevalent with capital ventures, okay? It can be a producer who doesn't have a next job on coming up. He can have money in the bank, but the fact that he doesn't have something else in line creates that scarcity feeling that all is lost.
Man, and that's so right on that, you know, I share a concept that there's this fear is that the answer to all my money problems is more money. If I just had more money, if I had the $5 million, all my problems would go away. But it doesn't matter what income or what money level, that if you're run by the scarcity, if you're run by fear, if you're attached to this, the zeros do not matter. It does not matter. It just makes it tighter to hold on to because you have more to lose.
It does. And it'll show up in other areas of your life. So you can have, voice of $5 million in the bank, or what about the single mother with four kids who's only got $1,000? The feeling vibration is not any different.
Man, that's so right on and so big. It's something to become aware of. And so what, so it's identifying like, wow, that fear energy is, you've got that fear energy and it's there, it's stuck, it's deep. Same thing. You've got the same energy going on as the single mom with four kids with $1,000, yet you're here with $5 million. What happens next once we recognize that that's looming or that's present?
Well, if it were, there's a few things you can do. You can identify that you're going to push through it, right? But have you ever, Christina, let's just take our own lives, known that you needed to do something, set a goal to do it, but you don't do it? That self-sabotaging pattern. And that's why it's hard in the transformational world that we're going to set a goal, we're going to get up at 5, we're going to exercise, we have this whole regime, but we can't maintain it. right? So then we get in a pattern of letting ourselves down. You know, it could be that you inherited this pattern. It can be a learned behavior. It can be trapped in your energy blueprint, which is this. You'll find this fascinating. We create our energy blueprint by the time we're seven, and it's 100% based on the environment we live in and how we view our interaction with family or teachers. So, but it's not true. It's how we perceive the world around us. So if we perceive that money is not safe for us as a child, or we don't ever get it, or we aren't allowed to have it, then we're going to be very uncomfortable as an adult having fun making money.
It's so true. And then, you know, I told a little bit of the story when you and I met, but I worked so hard to have it my entire life and grow it and have it because mm-hmm. I wanted the safety, mm-hmm. I wanted the security, I wanted the freedom, and I created all of that. Yeah. But because I still had that fear or scarcity mindset, without me being even aware of this, right. Thinking I was just fine with all this.
Yeah.
But realizing I had this intense fear of losing it because I worked so hard to build it and to grow it mm-hmm. intentionally. So now I'm holding on for dear life. And then I had this life situation where my money just blew up. It's like Mother Yu was saying, nope, you've got an attachment into your girlfriend, so we're just going to take it all away and see how you deal with this. So I'm like, what? So I'm trying to hold on, and I'm miserable. Yeah. And then it finally, that was the lesson. I think that was that spiritual lesson I had to learn with money. Practically, I'd figured it out and did very well and even had a very positive mindset about it. But I still, in mm-hmm. the spiritual context, it was like it was mine. And if it went away, then that wasn't okay. So right. I had to address my own issues
words
there.
Was attached
yes.
to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who am I if I don't have all this money?
That's right.
Absolutely.
Right. Because it, you know, you were probably working super hard to change the family dynamic in your life. You were going to do it better. You were going to prove that you were made of something and you were not going to be attached to that. Yeah. But you had to really be, it's really more about us, the individual, being okay with who we are, that we're worthy to have it.
Yeah, and I, in the spiritual context, you know, money in the spiritual context, I read something that attachment is really the darkness. And when you're attached to your money, the fear of loss is like the path to darkness. I think it was something like that. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't realize there was this fear of losing it. I didn't know it was there until I had to confront it when it was happening. But then it was this right. beautiful experience of when I just let go and it's like, man, I'm just so connected to source and abundance and yeah. it'll come and go. I've always had plenty and I'll have plenty more. And I just let go of that. That I realized that my entire like career was about building financial freedom. But when I even reached a place of financial freedom, I wasn't free because I was still owned by my money. And it was, it was just, I had no idea. And then once I let all that go, I was like, this is freedom. This is freedom. And I just was so glad that I got that lesson and opportunity to lose most of my money based on some choices and some life mm-hmm. circumstances the last couple of years. And now it's just, right? it's just coming back and in different ways, but it's just a whole mm-hmm. different flow and freedom in life when you're not mm-hmm. attached to it. Doesn't mean I'm not just as aware and intentional and pragmatic right. and practical, but I'm not attached to it, which is this real fine line. Does that make sense?
It's a super fine line. And one thing for you, Christina, is when you flipped it to heart-centered, your career is heart-centered now. You are about, it's not about Christina. It's not about how many homes you sell. It's not about your number that way. It's about you helping people get through their stuff. It's about you getting paid to use your gifts and talents to empower other people. It's a mind shift and it's heart-centered and that makes the difference because it feeds the soul.
Yeah, because it's not about the money. I mean, it is, make no mistake.
It is.
But it's not in the sense that I'm just as intentional about my money, but it's not about the money. I just know that the money is behind me. Exactly. It's backwards somehow.
It's backwards. It's backwards because you're out front in service. Follow me? You're out front leading people on how to have freedom in their life through money. You're not back in the background creating more because of out of scarcity. You're out front giving. and getting paid to give.
Yeah, right.
There is a difference.
There's a total difference.
Yeah.
All right. So if people are, you know, they're coming and you're calling it the fear energy, is that really the block that you're seeing, that you're identifying and seeing? Like, what are the money blocks that you're helping people release? That you're seeing that, oh my God, there's a wall right there. So to help them see it. And then what are you doing to help them break through it?
Okay. So here, let me give you some common walls. Are scarcity, the belief that there won't be enough. There's an unworthiness that it's not their divine right to have. It's also guilt of having wealth, and the fear of judgment from people. So oftentimes people will pretend that they don't have money because they don't want society to judge them, or they don't want their people asking them for money, right? So there isn't just one thing. Also, you might be surprised about this, but perfectionism can block money. So you might, the client might have great ideas, but they have a belief that they have to have all their ducks in order. They can't be in flow and create in the process. So they don't get it. It never comes to fruition because of perfectionism. People pleasing is a biggie, because if we're defining our worth by helping everybody else. See, people pleasing is a gift until it becomes out of balance. You can't make money, and you're going to reach a certain age. In fact, you won't even step into your life purpose, because your life purpose is helping everybody else. Follow me? So then you're going to hit age 50 and you're going to go, oh my gosh, I don't even know who I am. I don't even know what I could do. Those are big blocks.
Big blocks. I talk to a lot of people that are like saying in the spiritual space, in a way, even like teaching yoga or meditation or anything. And there's really this belief that I can't be spiritual and ask for money at the same time. How do you address that one?
Oh, I clear it. but that is an inherited belief. And it's also a belief. So this really held me back for a long time in my life, because I have those gifts that, you know, the scriptures in religion say is of the devil, right? That I'm whatever. And so imagine being a child reading that or being told that. Well, it took me really stepping into who I am to realize, you know what, that's a gift that has nothing to do with anything. It was whatever. It's just who I am. So things like that, people's judgments. I would, Christine, I got off on a tangent. Ask me your question again.
A lot of it, well, no, you're addressing it, is in the spiritual context or in different contexts. It's like, I can't be spiritual and charge for services, or I can't be a doctor in many cases and build a thriving, profitable business.
Practice. That's a story we create. Mm-hmm. For me, it was about paying attention to how I felt. So for a long time, I did it for free, because I didn't want to have a business. I just kept doing it free. People just kept coming. I was packed. And I was waking up. At first, it was fun. And then I was waking up exhausted. And I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing today? How many people am I seeing today? And because I hear, my guardian angel said, you have to charge. The feeling was, you're not exchanging energy here. You're only giving. And that's really when I thought, okay, I said, I hear you. All right. And I started at like $80, okay? And I felt so uncomfortable charging somebody $80. I did. But then I cleared those blocks and the false belief and the limiting belief that we can't be spiritual and prosperous. Then it came to my realization, Christina, that athletes, and I talk about this quite a bit, you don't see an NBA player saying, oh, you know what? I'm just so honored to have the opportunity to be in the NBA. I don't need any money. I'm just going to do it for free. Says no one. A gift is a gift. Spiritual gifts, physical gifts, they're all a gift. And we don't need to put rules around them.
Wow, that's a really good example. You know, something you say there that I think is really important is the exchange. Is if it's just one way, that's not reciprocity. That's not the energy, the in and out, and the in and out, and the ebb and the flow, and the yin and the yang. It just can't go out one way if you're not getting the same energy back. It all that only will equal to one thing: burnout. burnout. It can only equal to one thing, burnout, eventually. Like there's nothing else on the other side of give and not get back. Would you agree?
Right. I absolutely agree.
Mm-hmm. So what?
Yeah. Which is why you're so in flow, because you're in flow with the ebb and flow and the yin and yang and money coming in and money going out. And when we're in this state, money always flows to us.
It really does, because you're in that energy and it just, you know, it goes out, it comes in. And I, so that's, so there's that other piece too, that I find. And so I'm curious from your perspective, for a lot of people, especially women, not to you know, generalize here, but it's really easy to give. It's very difficult to receive. And so a lot of it's just like, it's that block of receiving. Like I can give and take care. But boy, if it comes back, it's almost, there's this wall to be able to accept that. So what do you say to that? Because it feels so good when it flows out and it ebbs in and fills me up and then it flows out and that feels good because others are getting taken care of and then it comes in.
Yeah.
So it's that dance with the ebb and flow. But if that is blocked, it's just not blocked on the mindset, but it's blocked on the receivership side.
It is. And that creates a struggle energy. Everything is a struggle, right? We have to work hard for every penny we make. We have to, it can create family drama. You know, we live in family drama. People pleasing falls in that category. And for women in particular, it's our need to control. Think about that. So we're going to control everybody else's life through our life by the what rules we set up in the family. And our need to control prevents us from expanding.
Wow.
And so when you have a need to control, it's very hard to receive.
Never thought about it that way. Right. Yeah. Well said. Yeah.
Thank you.
Something that you write about. And again, I love you so much. Like you just, everything you write about money, I'm like, that is so right on. And I just love it that you're speaking it from the space that you speak and teach money from, this real spiritual, connected, abundant, high vibration context and source. Something you put in there I teach too, it's really like in the abundance type mindset, but it's not just a mindset. That makes me think up here, like it's heart set, like the feeling, not just the thinking. But the feeling of money is getting to the place of the feel that comes out of it. It's a positive trigger versus a negative one. That the feel is like, oh, I'm so grateful for every dollar that hits my account. Like imagine the magic of that. You know, like this real honor and gratitude for everything that does come in, as opposed to what's not there. So you talk about honoring your money and putting it in that type of place where we can honor and cherish it. Do you agree? What do you say about that aspect?
I absolutely agree. And for those trying to be aware of it, you need to be mindful of your thoughts. So for example, I will even teach, when you pick that penny up, you pick the penny up. You find a penny, you find a dime, you pick it up and you give gratitude. Because it could be your guardian angels trying to say to you in a very simplistic way, there's always money. But when we go and say, oh, it's only a penny and that's not going to pay my bills, you got to stop yourself there. Yeah, because it's, money is always available.
You know, that's so funny. I love what you say. It just caused this, triggered this little thought in me. And it really is like that feeling to it. Because if a few $100 popped in my bank account just out of the blue, just something got lost in the mail, or it could be from 2 years ago, maybe in the grand scheme of things, it's just a couple $100, but I'm so happy. I'm like, oh my God, like,
I know.
Where'd this $200 come from? Like, yay, what a great day, you know?
Yeah.
It is funny just when we have that type of gratitude for wherever and however and
whatever it
pops in, right?
When we can find gratitude in no matter what situation we're in, it will keep our vibration high. When we go into the skepticism and the pessimism, well, it could be better, and it's not this, it's very hard for us to even see opportunities in our life because we're trapped in this pessimistic energy.
Yeah, that's a good point. What do you?
Yeah, because nothing's ever good enough.
Right. Yeah, good point. Yeah, no matter what the next there is, that's not good enough, and that's not good enough.
Right.
Mm-mm. What do you say to people that, so there's the block, maybe just like mindset blocks or belief blocks and the things we've talked about. What about ceilings? Like you, like a ceiling of like the block, I'm thinking like wall. I can't quite push through this wall that's right in front of me so that I'm blocked somehow. What about ceilings? Like, wow, maybe I'm really successful and I've done well, but I just can't get, you know, I can't puncture the up. There's, I'm just.
Those that limiting.
That limiting piece, right?
Yeah, that limiting piece. And I think of them as ceilings, exactly like that. A block is hard to move forward. The ceiling prevents us from expanding. Right? And going to that next level. These are common ones that I have found. If you've already experienced some success, then it's very hard for some people to think that they deserve more when other people might need it more. So there's this back operating system of, well, I've already had enough success. That's being selfish. So you have to break through. It's selfish to have more. You have to, right? That's very common. And then the other one is, this might surprise you, Christina, is that people don't want their family asking them for money. So let's say that the individual with this limiting belief that they've had enough success is really that they want to be invisible to the family. Because if they have more success than those people, because they've stepped out of the family paradigm, then the everybody needs money. George, I need money. Right? I'll borrow it. Can I pay it back? When they know full and well that sister or brother is never going to pay him back. Or what about the responsibility now of taking care of your parents? So see, if you keep it on the low down and you manage the intake and don't tell or not have that next level of success, you don't have to deal with that. That is a big one.
You know, it's funny. I never really thought about that myself. And at my last event, we had this women's circle. The women broke off and the men broke off. And I, whatever question I posed to the circle, one of the women said, my biggest fear of making money is I don't want my family to judge me because they think like, oh, you're that, you're after success, you're after money, you know, you're one of those type of people. And she said, this real tug of war that I'm afraid to be successful because I don't want my family to judge me badly.
Right. It's very real. So in fact, when people are starting businesses or I suggest to them, if I have a client doing that, I will suggest to them, don't ask your family for permission if they think it's a good idea. Because our family has us in a mentality of what how they knew us at 5 years old. And when we go to change who we are, it really makes them uncomfortable. So if you can do something and not ask for other people's opinion, right, like that, you're going to be far more successful out of the gate than if you're waiting for people to give you permission and tell you it's a good idea. Don't do that.
Agreed. Don't do that to your own children too.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good point.
Right. So if I were to call you up and I said, hey, Lisa, I think I have some blocks, I have some ceilings, or I'm not even aware of them. I probably have some, but I don't know if I have any or not. What would the conversation look like? What would we do together? What would it look like? How would we work together?
Okay. If we're doing one-on-one, first let me back up a little bit, okay? So an inherited pattern, it's important, comes down through our lineage, and it's in our epigenetics. So our DNA is a fixed, we can't change our DNA code. I can't make you 6 feet tall, right? That's firm. But how our DNA expresses itself is in the epigenetics. That's pliable. That's movable. And that comes through in our cell memory from our lineage and how they experience life. All right. That, they're called informational tags. They can be removed. That's important. Our parents did not give us this stuff on purpose, nor did we pass it down to our children on purpose, nor did we do anything wrong to inherit it. This is just life. All right. So when a client comes to me and they say, Lisa, I just really want to be more comfortable in public speaking. I want to make more money. I want to get out in the world and make a difference. Those are my people, okay? Because they're ready to go to that level and they've already done stuff and they don't know what's holding them back. There are a few things that I'm going to be identifying. I'm going to be identifying a frequency in the energy system. So we're going to get into a little bit of a, so let's change the conversation just a hair for me to explain it. A frequency is something that we send out automatically out into the world. So if you were dating somebody or you wanted to date somebody, this is an example. And let's say you go in to a gathering and you notice a really good looking individual across the room. And you're like, oh my gosh, I want to get to know them. Within 5 seconds, Christina, you're like, yeah, they're not, he's not my guy. Well, that's a frequency that you're picking up on. that you send it out, it comes back, and you're like, yeah, he's not mine. But really the truth is you don't know anything about him. But do you see how we come to this feeling that we have? It's a frequency. So they're energy blocks, and I like to think of it this way. If there was a machine that would show us our blocks, we would see them, right? And I really believe that there will be something like that in the future. Just like not that long ago, germs weren't seen and everybody thought people were weird for doctors. You know, the whole germ thing wasn't understood. But now we understand the importance of something that we couldn't see. It's the same. So I'm going to identify the block by working with the client's subconscious mind, because the subconscious knows everything. So here is where, if I do it that way, not on my clairvoyant gift or my clairaudient gift, but I ask the body what's blocking, I'll just use you, Christina, from reaching more people with her program, say, your body will give me my answer. I have words, I have like 300 words that I scan, and your body will tell me if it's inherited through muscle, through kinesiology, and I can tell you how many generations it goes back, right? And I'm going to clear that from your energy system.
Wow.
That's a long explanation, because what I do is a bit complicated, and yet at the same time, it's very easy.
And once it's cleared, it's cleared.
What?
Once it's cleared, it's cleared.
It's cleared. It doesn't come back. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't more of the same thing. Let's say scarcity. If you think of a family tree, there's a lot of branches in a tree. And there's a lot of people in a family tree. But when I clear a frequency like scarcity, the one that I get is gone. It doesn't come back. So let's flip it to anxiety. Let's say somebody has got anxiety in being seen. I'll clear the anxiety, but it doesn't mean that maybe 5 days later they might feel anxious in a situation. I like to think of it as like, okay, that's another opportunity for us to go deeper.
Absolutely.
Because if you think of the energy system, you can't release everything. The body would go into a healing crisis. The subconscious is not going to allow that to happen. It's taken years to get somebody's life to be where they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. When you were saying that, I could just feel it like, oh yeah, it'd be so nice that whatever those energies are, it just to be released and be like, all right, that's gone. And
yeah.
And then yeah. Until you find the next one. And it's just, it'd be a constant journey of when you reach the next block and the next block, and how great it would feel to just keep getting them cleared as you bump into them.
Mm-hmm. And it's not, I don't think we have to do it forever. Right? I don't keep clients forever. I get in there and I eradicate it and you move on. It's not I've got to do this forever in my life. I also certify people on how to do this, and also have meditations if to clear. So there's a lot of different ways to work with me, but just know that your body is a process. You got to this point, you know, through childhood. And so it just doesn't go away overnight.
Yeah, no, right on. Of course. What do you, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit to circle back a little bit where we started. What is your advice for what's going on right now when it comes to just, there's a lot of fear, there's anxieties, there's uncertainty right now. Nobody knows how long this is going to last or what's on the other side. What advice do you have to carry us in this during this time with money and just life in general?
I turn your TV off. Okay. And I'll tell you why. It's kind of like the past 2 weeks we've been watching OJ's Bronco every day. Like we've gone back to being like, what's next? What's the next worst thing we're going to hear? How many people have died? Are we going to be shut down? Are airplanes going to still fly? And what that does is the news is putting out a frequency, like throwing darts into our energy system, triggering our fear, instilling fear. Guess what, everybody? Life's going to go on, right? Whether we're watching that news 24/7 or not. And so if you can cut that back, you're going to bring balance to your energy system much quicker than trying to navigate this through the news. You're not going to miss out on something. I promise. Somebody's going to text you and say, did you hear Trump close all air travel? We're going to hear it. That's my first advice. And then I would also start with, what kind of memories can you create with your family right now? right? Like, you know, for the mother who all of a sudden has to homeschool and she's not used to it, how can you flip it to what kind of memory can I create with my kids right now? Let, you know, they don't get to make cookies and learn something at the same time. How can you be present with them? And I'm not diminishing the fact that that's really hard when you're a career woman to all of a sudden be home and have to homeschool. That's not in your genius zone. I get it. So what can you do, though, to make it better? And then I'd really work on decluttering your space, making use of that time to really make your home a haven wherever you live. Get rid of the things that you don't need.
Man, that is great advice. Great advice. Thank you. I mean, all three.
You're welcome.
And thank you. It's so important to turn off the news, to turn off that fear triggering and replace it with anything else, actually.
Right? Anything. Because if you're an empath, which means you feel, sense, and understand other people's pain energy, then it's just going to trigger that empath into more fear.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I really do love the advice of be present.
Yeah.
And declutter, like the declutter is huge. Those are very practical, great pieces of advice. Yeah. So thank you.
You might find money in a drawer that you'd forgotten all about. You might find money in a purse you're going to give. Yeah, check your purses in your pockets of your coats because you just might find money.
All right. So to really just to complete with a few more questions here. Any advice now when it comes to money different than you may have been talking about prior?
Well, during this time would be a great time to unclutter the soul, unclutter these energy vibrations that are holding you back, and pay attention to your bank account. And you and I have, this offer that we're offering together for money clearings. And they are a series of three audios that literally work with your body's energy system. Your subconscious gets on board and releases frequencies like scarcity, like I'm not enough, and are replaced to activate your money flow. What a great time if you are not able to do other things than to get rid of what isn't working for you energetically.
Yeah, now's the time to do that. So I'm super excited to do this myself, and I'm putting a link to everything that you're offering in the show notes. But I can't wait to do the clearing. Like, now's the time. I'm just going to clear
now's
stuff.
The time.
Yeah, like, get rid of this stuff, right? You know, declutter.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going back and doing them myself right now, too. Because I want to be able to think outside of the box. And how can I serve my audience more? And so what's my next level to go to? So I'm doing it myself.
I love that. All right, just a few more questions to wrap us up. Tell me, what is one of your, I'd love a brag moment. What's something you're most proud of?
Well, for myself, I'm most proud of myself for stepping through uncomfortability, even sometimes on a day-to-day basis, because for me, I have never been happier in my entire life. I love my life. I love how I feel. I don't ever get tired through my work. I mean, I love my work. And then for a client, I guess a big brag one is, he's successful. He's a producer. And he comes to me, and he really, truthfully, Christina doesn't need to work. Okay. But he came to me, and he was just super frightened because even though he had had a successful movie that was out at the time, he didn't have anything else on. So it was like an aha moment for me that it doesn't matter who we are in our life, we still have these fears and these way we were raised and the things that have happened to us in our life that get triggered, right? And right now, I think we're being triggered so that we can get rid of these things. But so he comes to me and I cleared these fears of not being enough, the fear of not showing up in the world, like not living your life purpose. And then to be able to help him navigate, he now has 5 movies in the makings, okay? He went from thinking he could only do one thing at a time, right? So we cleared, that's a limiting belief, that you have to do one thing at a time. He expanded his business and he's doing 5 things right now. That really feeds the soul to be able to take somebody and get them out of their paradigm to really what their soul is capable of doing.
Yeah, we're not even aware of that until someone like you helps us break through it, those invisible barriers.
Mm-hmm.
if I asked you, or let me reverse that. If you said to me, Christina, if you really, 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 really knew me, you would know that.
You mean about myself or about you?
About yourself.
About myself. You would know, if you really knew me, you would know that I'm completely different now than I was years ago. That I'm not timid. I was extremely shy. I was afraid of everything. I had a hard time speaking. I had a hard time expressing myself. And you would be like, Lisa, I don't even recognize you.
Wow. That's beautiful. And you're just so full of, I mean, you're just solid in energy. And I mean, your happiness exudes through the screen.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
And vibrant and, you know, yeah, like alive, fully alive. So yes, I see all of it. All right. One final question to wrap us up that
sure.
I like to complete our episodes with. I like to do a little myth busting, you know, especially right now, lots of herd mentality, a lot of fear, status quo. Mm-hmm. So what's a myth you can bust that you see all the time? Kind of a big fat lie you'd like to call out.
That we have to wait for other people to give us permission to do something. And it's really important right now, too. We don't have to wait to find out what's happening in the world for us to take care of our own self right now. We don't have to wait for permission to take care and unclutter our soul, unclutter our environment, be present with our family, and really gain wisdom through this isolation. What can you have surface, right? Just you, and not wait for somebody else to tell you, okay, you can go back to work. What are you going to do right now?
Bingo. Mm-hmm. All right. I love you so much. Thank you for being here.
I love
Thank you.
You
for all of your advice. And I'm really going to encourage everyone to do some clearing by clicking the links and doing this work.
Yeah. There's some free stuff too. We're giving them. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
So
Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you. Thank you for, you know, inviting me on, sharing me with your tribe, and just having this beautiful connection that we have.
Love you, girl.
I love you. Okay. Bye-bye.
If you're inspired by today's show and you would like to learn more about my money coaching, here's what I need you to do. Head over to christina.com/call. That's KRISSTINA.com/call and book an appointment to speak with me. In less than 30 minutes, we will get absolutely clear on why you're not earning enough no matter how hard you work, why you can never get ahead no matter how much you earn, and what you need to know in order to finally have the time and money freedom you're working so hard for. Remember, you're not alone. 95% of Americans are one life event away from financial crisis. I will be the first person to teach you why this is the case and how to be in the other 5% that has no fear around money. No one can do this alone. You need expert help. I've helped everyone from modest earning professionals to those earning 8 figures per year get off the financial hamster wheel and finally win the money game. I look forward to helping you too. Head over to christina.com/call and book your call with me today. I'm Christina Wise. Thank you for spending your valuable attention with me today. We will meet again soon.